It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Now, why do I want you to do that today? Because I want you to step into the truth of really being who you are. It's time to stop assimilating yourself into the world in the way the world wants to. And the reason I'm bringing that up today is I have to say my guest today has really found a unique and interesting path to doing his work in the world. And he came to that because he was struggling in his own way to assimilate into the world in a way that didn't feel like he was fighting it or running from it. And he's taken his beautiful background in sexual health and education and counseling to truly, the best way I can say it is to support his devotion to helping individuals heal and accept themselves in their highest potential in all areas of life, but also including in their sex and sexuality. He's taken his talents in many ways and helped individuals model better intimacy and better sexual expression in their lives. He's really coming from a space of no judgment. He provides a super nurturing environment to help individuals explore some of these things that sometimes get neglected and to help them learn some new tips and tricks and ways of being with themselves and with others in their sexuality. One of the things that I know most about this beautiful man is he really works with a lot of people to step into spaces they may have never been in before in their life. Everything from working with men who are experiencing for the first time being naked with other men. He's worked with psychologists to help individuals harmonize their mind and body. And he's also worked with couples to help them explore the different pleasure places of, you know, are they a bottom, are they a top, are they beyond, are they into the different sexuality things that we explore. And he takes his work very seriously to really help individuals keep from feeling threatened by sex and to make things about sexuality and sex and the things that we do intimately, make them discussions that they could be comfortable in and take actions around and not feel so uncomfortable about him. So today I want to welcome my friend Adam Martin, who is one of the most insightful, beautiful, honest, transparent people I know when it comes to a lot of things in life, especially when we delve into this world of our sexuality and sex. So welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Thank you, Rick. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And so for those of you who are listening today, I want you to come into this conversation with some very open minds, because we're gonna talk a lot about self-love, self-worth, and then we're going to dive into some of the sexuality stuff and the sex stuff that Adam works with. But I'll give you a little background. Adam and I met about a year ago at the Good Life Project Camp put on by Jonathan Fields, and we had a couple of really beautiful conversations, and I knew when I left camp that he was one of the people I wanted to have come on the Coming Out Lounge. So let's kind of start really from the place of your own journey, Adam. You're an out gay man, right?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. How many years have you been out?
14, 15.
Okay. So you got a little bit of time under your belt, so to speak. But not only are you an out gay man, you've done a lot of work on finding yourself in your own sexuality and your own, you know, way of being in intimacy and sex. Tell us a little bit about that journey for yourself.
Oof, I would have to go back. I would have to go back to childhood. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a very evangelical background in a very rural area in Michigan. And like almost all of us, suppressed my desire, suppressed any identification with being queer. Mm-hmm. And I came out when I was 17, and the blinders came off. And I love this idea of stepping into, because mm-hmm. You can take a step and go through a door, or you could go off a cliff. It just takes a step sometimes. And when I took that step, my entire understanding of the universe changed, of who God was, of what I had thought was the edge of the garden or limitations or what the edge was. And so from 17 to my early 20s, it was just very exploratory. And I tried different men, different ideas, different activities on for size, different identities. And then I really stumbled into the social services in HIV prevention and worked mostly with men who have sex with men and mostly young gay men. And lived in Michigan until I was 26. And then I was a volunteer teacher in rural sub-Saharan Africa for a year. And about half of my students were AIDS orphans. And so the sexuality education transposed in that way. And that became a whole new experience with the blinders coming off and understanding privilege and freedom and how I might want to live a fuller, freer life. And so I went back to the States and was back out of the closet because I had a year back in, and moved to Madrid and stumbled into, again, stepping into erotic massage. And really, it was just fun. It was just a way to connect deep and meaningfully. And it was a way to make money. And those things coalesced into this unfolding path of personal healing and personal discovery, along with a sense of connecting to people and meeting face-to-face, but not at face value. And feeling a part of something bigger than myself. And from there, I'm assuming we're going to go on a few tangents. Mm-hmm. But I wound up traveling Europe and South Asia, and I moved to New York a little under a year ago. And so now I'm coming out in a whole new sense and stepping into a whole new truth for myself. So, in a nutshell.
Well, I love what you've shared because it kind of gives the trajectory of a path that helped you find yourself and, you know, going from social services into the erotic massage world. I love what you said about the erotic massage was a way of connecting, but yet as you were saying that, what I was seeing was a mirror reflecting back to how you were connecting with, you know, people in the social services work with the AIDS orphans in Africa. It's all about connection. Everything you've done is about connection to people. And I think sometimes we as human beings can get hung up on what somebody does or how they do it. And it's like, well, wait. That may not be how you would do it, but at the core, it's still about connection to people. And that's the common thread for you, is there's a connection to people that really helped you not only be of service, but then it sounds like from what you've shared, began to help you really unlock different facets of your own journey and your own self to really see clearer who you are so you could actually even be more of service to others.
Spot on. And of service to myself.
Right.
And a key to connection is being seen and being vulnerable. And we're petrified of that in the West. I think we're petrified in just human beings in general, the way things are. We're so afraid that we're going to lose something or that we're going to be attacked or there's some insecurity to a situation if we can allow ourselves to be seen. And to really connect to someone else is ultimately to connect to yourself.
But why do you why do you think we are so afraid to be seen?
We're probably afraid to see ourselves. We're probably afraid to see that the way that things have made sense to us, whether it is religion or cultural norms or an expired relationship. That maybe we have to lose something to get somewhere else. Maybe we have to lose an old label or an old way of being to expand. We like structure. Human beings like structure. And we all know someone who stayed in college much too long. We all know someone who stayed in a relationship that they maybe never even should have gotten into. I find myself doing this. I get on my soapbox about being free and expanding, and then I find myself in the same routine that no longer serves me. And I think we fail to realize that structure has a time. And we'll always have a structure, hopefully. But it'll change, and there'll be a new structure. And I think we resist that.
I think you're spot on. I think we do resist those things because it isn't structured enough for many of us. We have to kind of know. We have to have that understanding of where we're going. And sometimes when we're in that vulnerable space, we don't necessarily know what's going to happen. We don't know exactly where we're headed, and we may not know the outcome about to come around our corner. So I think it's very interesting to watch the dynamics of people in sex and sexuality as they begin to become vulnerable in this arena. So last week, I guess it's about a week ago, and for those of you that are listening, it'll be a couple of months ago by the time this airs, but I was at World Domination Summit in Portland, Oregon, put on by Chris Guillebeau, and no, it's not a BDSM thing. It's a beautiful it's a beautiful entrepreneurial experience with people out there that are doing things in the world, making the world a different place and all that. And some of them, yes, some of them are working in the sexuality arena. Some of them are pushing the envelope. And I was very intrigued by the number of discussions I had with people who were polyamorous and asexual and people who were actually having open conversations. And as I watched people having these conversations, I could see others around us as we had these very open dialogues in public groups, you know, between sessions. I could see how uncomfortable it was making others because they weren't there yet. You know, it was very apparent that, okay, this is still the sort of thing that we haven't become comfortable with. So given the amount of, you know, international travels and lives you've lived outside of the U.S. borders, is this a common thing that you find in other countries, too, is that the sex talk is still the taboo thing?
Absolutely. And it may be more taboo as a whole somewhere, and it may be much more lenient somewhere else, but in some other way it's going to be taboo. That was a little vague.
No, I get it, because the taboo we want to talk about it, but yet we don't.
Exactly, and how we talk about it and how we identify with it.
Right.
So if I'm in Varanasi, India, I don't know what I can say on this program, but...
You can say anything, it's cool.
Okay, if a man fucks another man, he's not necessarily gay. But somewhere else, he's gay, and that's okay. So it just, it's the label, it's the activity, it's caste, it's class, it's so many different dynamics and different layers of what I might consider freedom. And really the traveling kind of turns definitions in on itself as far as how you relate to your own freedom, your own identity, and realizing how not free you are in certain respects that you thought you were. And just because our culture says we're free in this way. And when it comes to identity or stepping into your truth, that's murky terrain because it's so fluid and it keeps changing. If you're evolving, the nature of evolution is change.
Absolutely. I think some of it too is as you just said, it is fluid. And I think if we stayed in ourselves in the way that we come into this world, there's no growth. You know, if you don't have these different things that shift and change and give you the fluidity to go, oh, well, maybe I don't believe that anymore, or no, I don't really feel that way anymore. I know there's a lot. One of the meetups that I went to while I was at World Domination Summit was one where people were wanting to have open dialogue about open relationships. I know it's kind of weird, open dialogue about open relationships, but they wanted to really have a discussion. And I went because of the work I do, and I wanted to go, okay, this is more of a heteronormative sort of environment that I'm standing in. Yes, there were a lot of gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender representation, but I mean, we were probably less than, you know, out of 3,500 people, I would say we would be lucky if we were 1% of the population represented. So I thought it would be very fascinating to go sit in on this conversation, and it was. The first thing that I found most fascinating, but not surprising, was there were probably 25, 30 people there. And out of the number of people there, I think there were four women representing in the discussion, which I made some assumptions, but I think my assumptions are probably not too far off, of men in general would like to be able to explore this openness and sexuality.
I would agree, yeah.
Yet I wonder how many of those men have what it takes to have the openness in their sexual relationships without wigging out and becoming jealous and controlling on the other side of the fence. They would like to have their freedom, but I don't know that they necessarily want their partner or their significant others to have that freedom. And it was interesting because that is actually one of the questions that got tabled during that discussion. And you could kind of see different guys in the group starting to bristle, like, well, no, it's okay for me, but it's not okay for the other person. Do you find that similar in some of the work that you've done and some of the people you've been around on the globe, that it's a kind of, it's good for me but not good for the other person? Or is it more open to it's good for both?
Well, certainly in certain cultures, especially the more you have male privilege and it's more of a patriarchy, there's not even that dialogue. It's just, this is what men do, and that's what this, what women, you know, came into in this world, and they stay in the kitchen, they, you know, stay off the streets. And that's just what it is. And we were there not long ago. And in many ways we still are. It just takes a different form. My struggle with it is, and I'm not tremendously educated in the field of biology, evolutionary biology, is I do think men tend to be wired a certain way and women tend to be wired another way. And how do we live in the modern era in what we call civilization and what we call fairness when we have these instincts and these jealousies and this insatiable need for variety that men have? And I love variety. It's not just sexual partners, it's food, it's culture, it's different ideas. But we can only figure out how that works if we're having an honest dialogue within ourselves and then within our communities. And I don't have a solution for that.
Well, I think you brought something up here that is very poignant. And one of the other meetups I attended was one, just an open dialogue about, you know, sex, relationships, intimacy, so on and so forth. And the two people that were leading that conversation, they did a very beautiful job. And they kept coming back to, but what is it you desire, number one? Be very clear about that. And are you having this open conversation? And of course, every time they asked somebody, and there wasn't very many people who opened up in that group that were there with their significant other, spouse,
boyfriend,
girlfriend, whatever, right? And when asked the question, are you opening up about this? It was, well, no, because I'm not sure quite how to approach it. And I found it really amazing how they kept, the facilitators kept bringing it back to, well, how would you approach other things that are difficult to talk about in your relationship? For whatever reason, and this is me getting on my little soapbox and saying this is my perspective, but for whatever reason, I think we have a really hard time talking about sex and intimacy because we think we have to have a whole new way of talking about this sticky subject, which in
my mind, just
do it. You just do it.
Just
worried about, let's buy a house or let's go on a vacation or shall we have children or is this relationship really working or not? I guess that's kind of into that realm, but I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel.
No, you just disclaim it.
Right.
This is so difficult. You know what, Rick? It is difficult for me to be on this podcast. I've never been on a podcast.
Right.
Great. It's difficult. We talked about it on the phone. It's over. We're in it.
Right.
The same thing with having a conversation about sex with anything. But the dialogue begins with yourself. You know, what are your desires? What are your hang-ups? What's missing? and allow it to be messy, allow it to be ambiguous, and then explore.
I think and you if, just said something that's very, very important here, especially for those who may be struggling with coming out, whatever they're coming out of. I mean, whether they're coming out as gay, bisexual, transgender, maybe they're coming out as, you know, I want to be poly, whatever it may be. But this ability to allow it to get messy.
Yes.
Is so
please.
Important. It's like the key critical point. If you can't allow it to get messy and go, okay, but I can't be in control of this. No, you can't. Because there's no way you're going to know what's going to happen on that other side of the fence until you just take the step. You just got to go for it. And yes, all the prep in the world will help, but at some point, once you say, okay, this, I'm doing this, I'm saying I'm gay, I'm saying I'm trans, I'm saying I want to have an open relationship, whatever it is, there's no prediction of what's going to happen, but you have to trust yourself. You have, as you said, you know, you kind of have to have the dialogue starts with you first before you can take the step and be open to what's on the other side.
And then you're in a process, and we live in a culture that just loves end results, and we ask, what do you do? Do you want to put people on a hierarchy? And we avoid the process. We're so, like, traveling. I know this personally. Jumping from country to country, I was holding my breath and looking for the best photo ops, as opposed to just sipping a goddamn latte in Paris and watching the beautiful people go by. We have a very difficult time being in the process or being in the present or just being with the person that we're with and feeling the feelings that we're feeling in that moment. And if you can't do that, then you can't have a dialogue because you're not even in the place you need to be for it to be kickstarted.
Right. Well, you said something that I think is also key to understanding this dialogue we have with ourselves. If we're too busy trying to come to the result, there's no room, and this is basically what you just said, there's no room for dialogue with others or ourselves. We have to have the dialogue going with ourselves. Now, that dialogue can be what's going to happen, but if that's the only focus, we're too busy dialoguing about what's going to be the end result. We're not even focusing on, as you said so beautifully, being in the present and just being with this experience as it's unfolding. I mean, we have to allow ourselves to go release, both, you know, emotionally and sometimes physically, you know, and I'm sure in your work in that you've done in the erotic massage stuff, sometimes I would assume that the client just, they're so close to that release, and it's not just the physical ejaculation, you know, release that they're having, it's the release of, okay, I finally let myself be there, just let it go.
And be messy, be wounded, be in process, and not know. It's so funny. I'm told all the time how professional I am, or that I'm an expert, or that I'm the best at what I do. Whatever it is I do, I'm still figuring that one out. and I resist it. Part of me thinks it's just dangerous to be an authority. I just think it's dangerous to be in that spot. Human nature then starts degrading other people or letting your ego spin out of control. But really, it's a lack of growth. The moment I become an expert, the moment that I know something, and it's concrete, the moment that I'm at the end result, and this is the end, is the moment I stop growing. And it's a tenuous, it's a strange balance. Like, what truth do you offer to yourself and to other people? And how flexible can you be with the fact that, God, if science is changing, if what we know about psychology and education and the universe is changing, we have to allow that for ourselves if we want to have a wide experience of living.
Well, and I think the wide experience of living, though, in your case, you're talking about if I become an expert, but what I find so interesting and parallel to the coming out journey is the moment we allow ourselves to say, I'm the best I can be in this moment to come out, we've kind of become our own best expert at coming out for ourselves.
Doesn't
mean it's
absolutely
done, but it's
for yourself.
For yourself. You know, one of the questions I get most often when I'm working with clients in this arena is, well, what's the best way to do this? And I always say, whatever works for you. And it always pisses them off, of course, because it's
like,
wait,
I'm
wanting the answer. But in your world of becoming the expert, it's that pinnacle that I know for me, and I went through the same stuff, and I do consider myself an expert in coming out. I consider myself an expert in helping people become very self-actualized and self-expressed, whether they're gay, straight, doesn't matter. This is what I've come to in the last year for myself, is I'm really good at helping people do that, and I consider myself now an expert at getting people there. However, and I still go through some BS every once in a while around this, the moment you quote-unquote declare you are an expert in this arena, you also open yourself up to somebody saying, no, you're not. And to that, I've learned to say, that's okay. I feel I'm an expert in this arena. You can have your opinion too, but that is one of the scariest places, because you have to then defend yourself in some way, or you just accept that somebody else has that opinion and they're right to have that opinion, and you let it go. And I think this is a really powerful parallel again to the coming out process. When we realize that first time we say we are gay, or we're bisexual, or we're trans, or we're asexual, whatever the thing is in this beautiful, beautiful rainbow of sexuality, we become very vulnerable. And we also simultaneously become very powerful.
So, amen, brother.
Well, and I remember our conversation, our very first conversation at camp, when you indicated that you worked in the erotic massage and the sexual worker arena, and I thought, this guy is really confident in who he is and what he does. And it was the first thing that I thought, this is why I think I want this guy on my podcast, because he's solid. He's solid to say, this is who I am. It's the same parallel. If you can say, this is who I am, this is who you are.
Exactly. And that's being expert. Like, this is who I am, and who knows about tomorrow.
Right.
But I feel like I'm just swimming in a sea. And if I just show up to what I do every day, then I begin to connect those dots. And then I do have a wide frame, and I have an array. Someone might come to me and they really just want to learn how to deep throat.
Or
and before you know it,
they just want to learn how to be more intimate in general with their partner. Who
knows
what it is?
And then we wind up talking about the right routine or a career transition. It's just everything connects to everything else. And you come at something sideways, and who knows what journey you're going to be on. You just have to be open to it and show up to it. But I love what you said about vulnerability. What is really... because I live in a very niche world, and I just live in a very special existence. And most of my clients are on Wall Street or businessmen or doctors. And they live in a world where you have to exert power. You have to exert authority. And to me, that's not power. I think you find power when you're vulnerable enough to be genuinely kind and compassionate in the moment that you're in. That's real power, that you're really connecting. Otherwise, you're just enforcing from outside of. And it's so strange to see, really, these movers and shakers be so caught in this race of exerting, accumulating, and not widening their experience or noticing the architectural detail on the sidewalk they're walking on, or freely accepting a compliment. And so I feel like the sea that I'm swimming in and that you're swimming in is just one of presence and one of accepting that we're just getting at something that we can't quite define. And we're going to play with the labels, and we're going to use what we know to get there. And the process itself is what makes us human.
Well, it is that process. And I think sometimes that process of being human is so overwhelming for many people that that's when they start to exert power, and that's when they start to exert their control over things and try it, because this is their escape from being really human. A friend of mine when I showed up at World Domination Summit. He's a beautiful man, just a beautiful heart, soul-centered guy. Actually, you know him. It's Kyle. He's the one from Australia, and he has come forward with a project where he's printed these T-shirts, and they're printed backwards, so you can't, when you look at them, you kind of have to read the words backwards. But basically, the message is, I'm a heart-centered, soul-centered, vulnerable man. And there's a few more words in that phrasing that goes on there. And he started handing those T-shirts out to some of us who were from camp and have it when some of us were wearing them. And it would stop people and get them to read. Just in that moment, for us to stand in front of another person and have those words on our chest saying, I'm a vulnerable man, was something you couldn't control. You couldn't control how someone was going to react to it, but it was still very beautiful to see what was starting to unfold. And I have this theory, and I think it sounds like you have a very similar theory. The moment we quit using sex, intimacy, and sexuality as pawns in the chessboard of life to control others, is the moment we begin to have a whole lot more harmony in the world.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's where we falter so much, you know, in our life. And, you know my story. I was married. I came out, have kids and all that. And it was what was meant to be. But when I finally wrapped my arms around that was what was meant to be for me to get to where I am in my world today. And I don't know where that world will be tomorrow. It helped me begin to let go of control of, okay, I can't do all of these things. What I know I can do is I can be me. And I can be who I am in my sexuality and in myself. And because of that, I became a better man. And unfortunately, yes. I think a lot of people miss that piece. I think they miss that vital piece. And I'm sure, and I know we got to wrap up here really quickly, but I'm sure in your world, you often encounter a lot of judgment for the kind of things that you do. But something tells me you've created a formula to get past that for yourself.
I create a formula, and I don't go out much. You know, I'm very careful who I hang out with, and I do want to go back to Kyle's shirt, because that's brilliant, and I want one.
Yeah.
If you're looking at that shirt, not only does it being backwards command your attention, but you become a mirror. You become a mirror so that the shirt could be read, which is really what it's all about.
That's
if
exactly
I'm with another man,
about.
If I'm talking to you, if I'm with another man erotically, if I say hello to my favorite barista. Mm-hmm. I become a mirror of someone else. It's all about our common humanity and the fact that we're all on this journey together. It's that simple, but it's a messy journey.
Yes, and I love that you brought the messiness back up, because that is the piece that drives people batty. Why can't this just be perfect? Why can't this just be the way it is? Why, you know? And it's like, but if that's the way it was, how boring would life be? How
Absolutely.
Boring would life be if it was all, you know, just perfect in every way that you could look at it? There's nothing that could make life more boring and less challenging than that. So since we've been talking about it, I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring it up so we can really kind of end with what Kyle's shirt actually says, because I think it's so powerful. It says, I'm a kind, huggable, open-hearted, intentional, loving, vulnerable man.
Oh, sign me up.
And I don't care if it says man or woman or parent or gay man or CEO or whatever. I think just, you know, and I was sharing this with him, if you start moving this as you are through, you know, the men world, so to speak, if more and more men could adopt this, and my husband was actually wearing his T-shirt on our way home from Portland, and so we got on the trains in Portland and the streetcars to get to the airport, and then as we got in the airport, I noticed people starting to look at the T-shirt, and I especially watched men read that. And there were some interesting, quietly visceral reactions to it. And I thought, I would love to be the little tape recorder in their minds of what they're saying right now, you know, and what's causing those reactions, because it's a place that we put ourselves in a very vulnerable, vulnerable spot. So to wrap things up here, my dear friend, I wish we had a whole hour to do this, but we don't. But
Or a day,
exactly. I know you and I could. And actually, you know what? I'm going to be in New York soon, so maybe we'll have a coffee chat about all this stuff. But
done.
So one of the things that's so important to me is, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge, and, you know, you've obviously done a lot of different types of coming out in your life, as we all do. I always stress that we all have different coming out journeys we're going on, whether it's gay, lesbian, becoming parents, losing jobs, whatever it may be. But in your world, you've been through a lot of different stages of coming out. What would be one piece of advice that you could really leave the listeners with of, you know, when they're facing these coming out journeys, what would be one thing you would tell them that could really help them along?
Do everything you can to know yourself. To know yourself. Read the right books. Meditate. Learn who your true friends are. Know what makes you tick. Know yourself.
That's so powerful, and it's so true. I mean, it's the piece of, I remember working with some of my very first clients, and they kept saying, well, how do I know? I said, you'll know when you know yourself. You'll know when you know yourself as best as you can in the moment that it's time to say, I'm gay, or I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual, whatever it may be. And you'll know when it's time to say it in a way that you can look at that person that may be a parent or a child of yours or a spouse or a friend or whatever, and you'll be able to say it in a way that really makes it make sense. And they'll, whether they agree with you or not, isn't the point. What is important is you'll be able to do it because you'll feel it within yourself.
And it's, we all want love and approval. So it starts with yourself, love and approval of yourself.
Right. And oftentimes what I've found in my world, and I think what you're finding in your world too, is the love and the acceptance piece is where people go and hide. And they try to keep that hidden, that, I've got it together. And in reality, they don't. They really haven't gotten to that space with themselves. Because if they do get to that space with themselves, some of this other stuff isn't needed. You can get through life so much easier when you love and accept yourself. And one of the things I've always said is, I look forward to the day, and each day that passes these days, I look forward to the day that I don't have to do this work. Because I think it
Absolutely.
Will be very beautiful. And to some degree, I think it's similar to you, to the point where people won't have to go external of themselves to go find themselves in these ways that they hide, and they walk away from those experiences. It's no different than a hookup with anybody. To hide in those experiences, it will be a really beautiful day when we don't have to hide, and we can just say, yes, I'd like to do this and be with you in this way, or I'd like to have these kind of conversations with you, or I'd like to experience you in this way. I think it could be a very different, beautiful world. So,
Yeah. Well,
I appreciate you so much being on the show today, Adam. It's
Likewise. Truly
a pleasure. And for those of you that are listening, if you found something that you really love and you can hang on to and you go, wow, this was helpful to me, I know we came from this at a little bit different angle today, but if you really enjoyed it, hop on over to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're listening to us, and give us a little bit of love if you like to. We'll even take some sex out of you if you want to offer that up to us. Just kidding. But I really appreciate it. And if anything else you want to hook up with us over at Facebook, that'd be great, The Coming Out Coach. And by the way, Adam's website, if you're interested in learning more about what he does, is simplyadam.com, correct?
Adam? Correct. And there's a blog there, so you can...
There's a beautiful blog. I forgot to talk about that beautiful blog over there. And I love the way he writes and the observations he has. So definitely go check that out. And... you know, if anything else you want to tweet out about us, you can tweet us at Rick Clemens, and the hashtag for the show is The Coming Out Lounge. And to wrap things up, I want to also encourage any of you that are listening, you know, it's not my intention to, like, be here as a sales pitch, but sometimes I feel the movement that some people may be listening and they're still struggling, and they'd like some help, but they're not quite ready to dive in. Maybe they're not ready for a full-time coach, or maybe they're not ready to have some of the work that Adam can do with opening you up to yourself sexually or having these conversations with someone. But sometimes you will find things that just really resonate with you. So whether it's Adam and doing the work he does, helping people come into terms with their sexuality and having better sex lives, or it's work with me coming out of the closet, there are things you can do. And on my show page, there's a link to a self-guided program called Coming Out Your Way. Maybe that's the best place for you to start. You know, start small. It's not expensive. It's self-guided. You can do it on your own. It doesn't have anything that's going to get you in trouble, somebody looking over your shoulder. But that might be a really great thing for you to check out. So check it out. And looking forward to having everybody back in just another week. And as always, With that, we wind up the show, always encouraging everybody to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth. Until next time, I'm your host, Rick Clemons, at the Coming Out Lounge, and we will chat real soon.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.